Good morning.
Morning.
I only have to look one direction, unless I'm going to look at Michael. Everyone's right in front of me this morning. If you haven't had a chance to grab a sheet from the back, there are scripture notes in the back door. Around this time of year, we are talking about the birth of Jesus, the Christmas story. I want you to think for a moment about the genealogy of Jesus that's given in Matthew or the one given in Luke, where it tells this person gave birth to this, this person gave birth to that, and on. If you're reading the King James, it says they begat this person and that. But I want you to think about, what if one name was removed from that list? What if one person was changed from that list? What if Jacob was removed? Or what if Ruth? Or what if Rahab? What if the story of Rahab that we read about, what if that was removed? You see, it would all be changed. You see, each and every name, each and every life was critical to the outcome of our salvation. Each and every name, each and every story had to be there. It was important. So on Christmas Eve, I found myself lying in bed watching something that I haven't watched in a very long time. I was watching A Wonderful Life. And to be honest with you, I hadn't seen it in so long that the entire movie was new to me. I realized that I remembered very little. I remembered that Jimmy Stewart was in it, and that was pretty much it. That was about all that I remembered. But the idea behind that movie was that a man named George Bailey had big hopes, big dreams. He had big plans for his life, all that he wanted to succeed. He wanted to leave his hometown of Bedford Falls. He wanted to travel far and wide. And it was said that George Bailey could lasso the moon. George could do whatever he wanted to do. He could bring in whatever he wanted to bring in and give his wife and his family the life that they always dreamed of. Well, George ended up getting his wife and getting his family, but he felt stuck in Bedford Falls, and things just didn't work out exactly as grand as he had planned. He always felt like he was battling against the greater forces of the town. He always felt like he couldn't quite succeed, and finally he came to a point where, through devious means, others had stolen his money, and he was about to lose it all. So he finds himself on a bridge, looking down at the water, questioning, what's my purpose? What if I had never been born? Why am I even here? Why does my life even matter? And at that point, an angel comes and shows him what the world would have been like if he had never been born. You see, many of us have come to points in our life where we think, what's my purpose? Why am I even here? When things get tough, when trials and troubles come in, we think, why am I important? Why do I need to be a participant in this world? You see, but first and foremost, we need to realize that our life is not an accident. It's a vital thread in God's tapestry. Nor George felt like failure because he never traveled the world. He never built big, shiny things. And we often measure our worth by external accolades. What have we done? What have we built? How much money have we earned? And then when we start to lose it all, we think of, what if I wasn't, why am I here? What if I wasn't here? Does it even matter? But it says in Jeremiah 1:5, the Lord says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. You see, God didn't just allow you to be born. You weren't just some accident that God said, okay, well, we'll leave that for now. Instead, he intended it. You see, your existence is a deliberate act of creation, not a biological coincidence. And in the movie, the angel Clarence shows George how his small acts, like saving his brother, helping a friend, keeping a business afloat, change the entire town. In the kingdom of God, there is no such thing as a small act of obedience. In Matthew 5:13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You see, salt is tiny, just a little tiny grain. Yeah, but it changes the flavor of the whole meal. You may not see the ripples of your kindness, your prayers, your integrity, the things that you do for those around you, but without them, the world around you would be darker. Like in the movie, the dark, cynical Pottersville that George found would have existed if he hadn't been there. And what about us here in this very congregation? You see, each one of us that are here have our own part. We're supposed to be here. We're supposed to be here together. You see, if George hadn't been born, Harry Bailey, his brother, wouldn't have been saved from the icy pond. And in turn, the men that Harry saved in the war would have died. You see, one act led to another, all because someone was there. This illustrates that we are all interconnected as Christians. In 1 Corinthians 12:21, it says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." You see, when you feel weak or you feel unimportant, you are actually indispensable to the body of Christ. The body of Christ is incomplete without the specific spiritual gifts and presence of each one of us. We are all meant to be here at this very moment. You see, the wonderful life that we desire isn't found in escaping our circumstances and getting away from it all, but in seeing God's hand within them. George found his joy when he realized that his ordinary life was actually an extraordinary gift. It was supposed to exist. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." See, you aren't waiting for your life to start. You are currently living the good works that God prepared for you to do. Now, George often felt like he was just stuck in Bedford Falls. He was just stuck there. He couldn't get out, couldn't go anywhere else. But the truth is, our location and our timing here are divine appointments. In Psalm 139:16, it says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." You see, God didn't just plan your birth, but he planned the days that feel mundane or difficult. God planned them. God knew that they were going to come. It was all part of his plan. And in Acts 17:26, it says, "From one man he made all the nations." And it says he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. None of this is an accident. Just as George was meant for Bedford Falls, God placed you in your specific family, in your specific neighborhood, and in your specific workplace for a reason. Often we look and we say, "I don't know why I'm in this place. I don't know why these are the people around me. I don't know why I have to live here. I don't know why I need to work here." But God knows. God has a plan. We should start looking at what our role is, what our benefit is, what we're bringing to those situations, and what they would be like without us. Do we often see this in our lives? Or do we just look at the pain, the hurt, and how difficult something is? Also in this story, Mr. Potter saw people as cattle, people that were to be herded and controlled. But God sees people as masterpieces, even when we have that feeling of being small and insignificant. In 1 Samuel 16:7, when Samuel is looking for the man that God had chosen, and God says, "Nope, it's not this one." It says, "The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." We may feel small and insignificant. We may feel unsuccessful, but success isn't measured by a bank account. Success is measured by faithfulness. And in Luke 12:7, it says, "Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." If God tracks the smallest details of your physical being, then he certainly values the impact of your life. And Clarence tells George, each man's life touches so many other lives. As much as we like to think so, we don't live on an island. We are not independent people who just go about our ways and it doesn't affect anyone else. Everything that we do, whether big or small, has an impact. In Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You see, George was weary and he was ready to quit. But the biblical antidote to that despair is to not become weary in doing good, but to continue, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Without you, the people in your life would be duller. They wouldn't be as sharp as they need to be. They wouldn't be equipped the way they need to be. You are necessary in their lives. They would be lesser versions of themselves without you. And in Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Your presence acts as a catalyst for others to do good, even when you're not aware of it. Many people think they come here each Sunday or they gather on Wednesday and they think, oh, I'm just here in the background. I'm not affecting anything. No one cares that I'm here. But it does matter. You see, everything that you do is helping to spur another on to good works, is helping to encourage another, is meaning something to someone else. Our presence in each place that God puts us is vitally important. And the movie ends with the realization that George is indeed the richest man in town. Not because he got all his money back or more than he started with, but because he realized how much his life meant to the people of the town. He realized how much of an impact he had really had, and that the town wouldn't even be the town without him being there and being alive. And it's the same for each and every one of us. Our life drastically has an impression on the world around us. Matthew 6:20. It says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. See, George's wealth wasn't in the $8,000 that he lost, but in the lives that he invested in. And in Matthew 25:40, Jesus was telling a parable and he says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. You see, each and every act, our life, our example, our influence is critical to God's plan for this world. Or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here if God didn't have a specific plan for you, for your life. This morning, have you found yourself wondering, what can I do for God's kingdom? How can I be a part? I feel like I just come here each and every time, but I'm not making a difference. Well, your presence, your trust in God, your relationship, your faithfulness, it does make a difference. It does change lives. Or have you found that you're falling away from that, or you haven't come to Christ yet, and you need to come to him? You need to come in belief and repentance, confession, and be baptized. Whatever your need this morning, we want to encourage you to come forward as we stand together and sing our invitation song.